This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast features Ben Brown of Porchlight, one of New York City's hottest and most creative cocktail bars. Be sure to reach out to Ben and Porchlight and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Hello, ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you've chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. He's Ben Brown. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Rich.
Ben, I love talking cocktails. I love talking to those that take the spirits and make them into these magical creations. And you're the beverage director at Porchlight. How did all that come about for you?
Yeah. So I started with USHG, Union Square Hospitality Group, in 2012 at the Modern. Right out of college, I didn't know anything about restaurants, but they were looking for service assistants, food runners, things like that. So I was like, I can do that. So I got in there as my first job in New York City, and it's a lot of technical information to take in. But at the root of it within the company is the hospitality aspect. So they saw that within me, I could maybe not carry a tray full of glassware, but I showed promise in making connections with people and showing them a good time. So I spent 2.5 years there. In 2015, the company decided to open up Porchlight in Chelsea, Manhattan's west side. And yeah, from there I started as a barback and server, and then kind of climb the ranks to lunchtime Monday bartender. Soon got the gig on the weekend doing it. And after a while, I was just working service bar every single night, and it was great. Life in the weeds. And then, of course, pandemic shutdown happened in 2020. We were closed for a year. We reopened in 21. About 6 months later, they were looking for a head bartender. I said, sign me up. So that carried with it a little bit more responsibility in ordering and just solidifying the drinks that go on the menu. And then a few months, 7 or 8 months ago, our former beverage director, Nick Bennett, had his first child and is now a full-time father. And I stepped into his role as beverage director. And that's, in short, how it came to be.
All right. Well, congratulations to Nick Bennett and the birth and the expansion of your family. What's it been like on your journey, Ben, to go from, hey, I'm a barback, to I'm just doing a little service bar? You know, what's the learning process been like? Is that something for you that learning and working with your hands and, you know, just the high pace nature of perhaps being a bartender? You know, how has that been for you?
I think it's it's one of those things where you can see someone doing it. And I'm sorry, Nick, I'll use you as an example. But this has happened time and time again in careers of others. When you see someone, you're like, I could probably do that job as good, if not better. And then you start to do it. And you're like, wow, this is a lot more difficult than I thought it would be. So I wasn't... you know, there was no regret at all, except for maybe thinking I could do it better just right out the go. I think the job itself, Carrie, is a manager and beverage director. It's a lot of just shifting gears. You're going from, at some points, yes, like making drinks and doing all those technical things, but the manager parts that need to take place as well, the people, making sure that things are coming out at time. It's just prioritizing in that way is significantly greater than what I had experienced prior. So, you know, something as basic as working with a computer too, if you're just working 8 hours a day with your hands, making drinks and making connections with people, if you go from doing that a couple hours a day and then you have to go and fire off a bunch of emails, it's like your brain's just not used to it yet. So for me, it was a lot of those kind of getting used to things.
You've said that twice, connections, making connections with people. And is that something that you can train or impart to your staff? Or do you think this is something that on a hiring side, that's a skill that you're really not, you can't generate that into somebody? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think in terms of training, I think it's something you could make someone more aware of, but it's something that you could see is that if you're hiring somebody, you're looking for that aspect within people where you're having a conversation one-on-one with somebody, for example, and you can tell automatically, like, they're in it because they want to be there. They like what they're doing. They may be great at what they do already, but they could also, you know, the technical proficiency is still just not there yet. You're looking for that to some extent, but within the Union Square Hospitality Group, what they call the 51-49, the 49% being the technical capabilities of somebody, things like, you know, making drinks fast and being aware of all these cocktails that are out there, for example, and the 51 being the hospitality aspect of it all. And that's what we are kind of looking out for in people that we want in our culture. And the hospitality is the what we're doing, how we're making people feel. That's ultimately what's remembered. I think I can go living in New York City to a lot of different places that are at this point in 2023 producing amazing cocktails. Like all the fresh juicing is there, great ingredients, etc. But ultimately what I'm going to remember about that place is how that space and the service, how all of that kind of made me feel. And I think that's what people remember these days after going out.
You talk about the technical side, and I'm curious, being that there's a first experience of being a bartender, do you remember your first cocktail you ever made?
Yeah, I think it was the first cocktail I ever had would have been a Sazerac, one that I like remember properly ordering and receiving, and you know, of course, going back to how that made me feel, I was like, wow, I feel so sophisticated, and this is like I just have the flavors and all of that there, and in this space, it was just incredible. So I sourced all the few ingredients that go into that drink and tried to produce it at home, and it needed some work, but I had the confidence, just not the skill right then.
It's interesting because you start out and you know, I mean, I think a lot of times, and you probably see it behind the bar, people need to feel like they have to demonstrate that they know it all, right? And we forget that you have to start somewhere, right, Ben? You have to, like, nobody's going to come out of the gate and be a 300, 400 hitter. Some do, but it takes time to develop and see the game, just like it takes time to develop and see the bar.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately, for the most part, it's just something that with experience you learn, and you can look back and be like, I wish I hadn't been so hard on myself there, or maybe that newer bartender didn't deserve to be talked to in such and such a way. I wish I had found a better way to communicate that you need to be faster. those kinds of things. But it, especially like now in my new role, kind of giving myself a break is something that's I want to keep learning and learning, and I want to get better and better, but it is going to come with time and just kind of give yourself some slack. Sometime would be my advice to any up and coming bartender that thinks they need to know of everything at all at once in the beginning.
New York City, you're at the epicenter of the bar world in many cases. What's it like being in that environment, you know, knowing that essentially that it's Broadway, you know, where you're serving, you know, cocktails and spirits?
Yeah. So I think to me, you know, that's intimidating, right? I've lived here for 11 years and there's always someone that's just as good, if not better than you, right around the corner, quite literally. So I think there is an aspect of like doing the research, learning what's been done, what's out there. And then kind of where we are at Porchlight, I think is an example of, we know the drinks. but when you come in, it's not about like taking ourselves too seriously or having that expectation from the guest. It's about having a good time. So I think when you shed some of that seriousness, with that comes like that playful side to it all. And then everyone just has a better time. So that's what I tell myself, at least. but it tends to work. We do amazing business for a lot of the companies around in the neighborhood and the community at large, of course. We have a lot of regulars as well. But we're doing something right because people keep coming back.
Well, you touched on it a little bit, but for those that have not yet been to Porchlight, have not had the experience, what can they expect as a customer?
So Porchlight, we're located in the former terminal warehouse building. It's an old, built in late 19th century. Actual warehouse was cold storage, turn of the century. Since been converted into a lot of retail spaces. Currently, there's only two businesses that are open in this block-long building that used to be Tunnel Nightclub in the 80s and 90s. And that'll ultimately open up to more retail commercial space. But anyhow, I had to paint the picture of where we are in Chelsea. It's an old, old building with a lot of history. We do have a lot of space. We're open to large groups, quite welcoming to that. The food itself is Southern inspired. One of the founders of Porchlight opened a bar or a restaurant rather called Blue Smoke Barbecue Spot, one of the first of note in New York City in the late 90s. So kind of carrying that Southern aspect. It's not necessarily barbecue at Porchlight, but a lot of Southern inspired ingredients and recipes go into the food there. I don't want to necessarily say it's elevated bar food, but a lot of the offerings are. So we have po' boys, so kind of harkening back to New Orleans in that way. We have sliders that are outstanding, nachos, things like that. So something to nosh on, that's also something that's just quite delicious, because you're in the bar setting and we're not trying to make it. So it's like a sit down formal experience. It's more about just the people that you're with. And wow, the stuff that I'm drinking and eating is incredible as well. The drinks itself, the program leans into arguably the birthplace of the cocktail, New Orleans. So we have Sazerac variations on the menu. Put a raw finiac on. Probably no one knows what that is, but it's a New Orleans cocktail with brandy and raspberry vinegar. We have leaning into that we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we can make really good drinks. Kind of encapsulates that in our Storms Brewing, which is, if you look at it on paper, kind of reads like a hurricane that you would get on Bourbon Street. But it is a blend of three different rums: passion fruit syrup, grenadine, fresh citrus, and bitters. And about the syrups, we make all of our syrups in-house and juice fresh daily as well. It reads, looks like this drink that might not have been a great one for people in the past, but it's kind of rethinking that whole.
Looking at your cocktail menu, I have to tell you, one of the, just right off the bat, I mean, who's responsible for this cocktail menu for the fall? It reads sweater weather, think candles, flannel, and pie fall into. And then you go through, there must be at least 10 cocktails that I would say, I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one. And that's like, you've got like 20 some cocktails here that I say, I don't know how I'm supposed to visit Porchlight and get through this whole menu in one sitting. How do you do that?
Well, you're in Philly, right? You're a close train ride away.
We are, but I'm going to have to like get a cot or something. I mean, your sippers, not for the faint of heart. You got your guzzlers, light and easy, maybe too easy. But I'm looking at some of these, you know, the way you structure these cocktails and some of the ingredients. And like, you got this planetarium, right? So you put the vodka in, you got the akavit, then you got cold brew, and you put root beer on it. I've not heard of that before. Who does that?
Yeah. So our menu, the specific layout that you were initially drawn to, as our food and beverage director, Samantha, does all the cheeky dialogue within it. The menu itself, the ingredients and the cocktails, is myself, and also it's the dialogue with the entire bar team. We called out Planetarium. That's specifically one of our bartenders, Johnny, came up with that. And I sprinkled in Aquavit because I just do that to people. If they have an idea, why not try it with Aquavit? Can't hurt. But yeah, it's a lot of, during a shift, someone will have a cool idea and they'll be like, hey, we got this. And I'll be like, wow, that's incredible. How did you think of that? Or like, we'll further tweak it down the road, and then we'll have a bar meeting at some point leading up to a menu change. And the menu changes are seasonal for those first couple of pages as you see it, the fall, then we'll do winter, spring, summer. And then the center is the meat of the menu, which more or less has stayed the same. It's the tried and true, the sippers, guzzlers, and then calling out the classic and modern classic cocktails. So
even your tried and true, I mean, I'm looking at this, you got your 7 and 7. So it's your secret blend of 7 whiskeys. And then you're making your own house-made citrus soda. So that to me is a perfect example that you are in a place where, look, you got the, you know, I'm not going to say the Mets, you know, no disparaging to the Mets, but you've got the Yankees, you know, you're not too far away from where the Yankees play. And every year there's an expectation that the Yankees are going to win the World Series. They're going to win the World Series every year. Every other team sucks. And you've got to live up to, you know, everything that's come before. Being in New York, you know, you just can't make a 7 and 7, right? You got to make your own soda. You got to come up with your own blend. That's got to be so much fun yet challenging to always, you know, always go, you know, 4 for 4 or pitch your no hitter every night, right?
Yeah, it's a bit daunting when you put it like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
No,
Ben, I didn't mean like your whole face changed. Like now it's like, I got to go to work today. What?
Yeah. I forgot about that. We were having so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, we've been open since 2015. So a few of those drinks were on our opening menu, the Gunmetal Blue, Storm's Brewing. But then like, if I think about it, like when the 7 and 7 came on, like, oh, that was like right after. That was like several months later down the road of like serious development. And that's just one drink. Meanwhile, other drinks are being born at the same time or later. So it's like, it's all about the build of these things. Like, and what you said earlier about like, it's not all going to happen at once. It's more about like trusting the process. I think now that it's my program, it's certainly more pressure to come up with things that I think people are going to like and things that I like, and how do those meet, as opposed to just being like, I'm not going to think about this, and all of a sudden I come up with this great drink that I'm super proud of, but didn't really think about like, yeah, we do need to step it up, you know, season after season, and then also maintain every single day this detail-oriented nature, which is kind of the only way that I see this being successful, and also the only reason to really do it, is because if we're not going to do it at this level, then I don't know. It's just kind of all we know there. The team right now is as great, as strong as we've ever seen it. So I think that to me is motivation to push myself and everyone else on it. A lot of the inspiration is just the team being as great as they are. I think, yeah, we drive each other and it's fun, and it can be a lot of work, but kind of seeing a menu like this one at the end of it, you do get to sit back and relax for a second and take it in and say, wow, I'm really proud of this. So that's, I mean, you didn't ask, but I will say that's like one of the coolest things about being in this new role is just having that like pride in what I've done personally, but then, and also like all these people that are giving themselves to Porchlight as well. So it's awesome. And the people like it. They keep coming back for it. It's awesome, you know?
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast.
Are there spirits or brands that you're excited or haven't used or are seeing out there that you're, I gotta find a way to make this or use this?
Yeah. I mean, one of our opening bartenders, Corey, he started a vermouth company a few years ago. Method Spirits. Yeah.
You were a guest on the podcast.
So, nice.
Yeah.
We've been using the sweet vermouth in one way or another since it came out. The dry vermouth was just released, I think it was last year at this point.
Yes.
So we were doing, at Porchlight, we do a lot of, book release parties. So Eater, just came out with their first cookbook, and we did the New York release party 2 weeks ago, and planning the menu, I was thinking about a few different things that I wanted to do, some of my drinks and then some classics within the book itself. So I was like, oh, 50-50 martini, that'd be cool. And one of the recipes was we used Booth's gin, which is another cooler gin that I'm into right now. And the garnish optional was a pincho. So it was anchovy with a pickled pepper, the varietal, which I remember, and then I skewered olive, and it was everyone's favorite drink of the night. And it was so like simple, elegant, yet understated that I don't know. It was really exciting to see. It was the first and only drink that I had when I was finishing the event, and I was very pleased that I did have it. So method dry vermouth, definitely excited for that one as well.
Last episode, we talked to Amy with Origin, and I think I mentioned that to you prior to us recording today. Origin makes vodka. It's a holistic spirits company. And part of our conversation talked about celebrity brands. Woody Harrelson is an investor in the company, and he is the celebrity that has put his name to that brand. And I'm curious, from your perception, your perspective of a food and beverage director and a bartender, how these celebrity brands are looked upon, or give us some feedback when you hear about the next celebrity brand that's being introduced to you.
Well, I mean, the way that I look at it, if I was not a bartender and I saw that someone that I looked and respected started a tequila company, and I didn't really know much about tequila, but hey, here's this thing that's like, it was $45 a bottle, it must be good, and you know, a lot of like my decision is going to be like, well, I mean, like I, the endorsement obviously is like the huge selling point in marketing. So I think it's, it works. It's successful. I don't think it has, it's not something that I'm looking for when I'm deciding what brands to carry. I think you mentioned Woody, like, you know, there is somebody that I do actually respect and love his body of work. So like, I'm actually really excited to try it in that respect. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to demean anybody for their choices to endorse something, especially when it makes them a lot of money. So I don't know. It's not something that we carry a lot of the celebrity brands at Porchlight, just because I think I haven't been convinced that they're better than the ones that we carry. So,
yeah, I'm just curious because, you know, you get to see that all the time. You get your customers coming in. Look, in my opinion, with this array of cocktail, you know, what the experience is here, I'm like, that's not what I'm here for tonight. The experiences are the celebrities behind the bar, the ones that are working hard to put out these cocktails. And that's what I'm there for. I'm there for, like you said, the connection, the show, the atmosphere, the flavors, the different experiences of that cocktail. And I think that's what stands out for why I would, you know, want that experience, not to say, oh, I see that bottle on the shelf and I hear that so-and-so has endorsed it or that's their brand or what have you. But if you find something that's unique, then maybe that changes the perspective. But I'm there for what you're putting out, and that's what interests me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not going to do any damage here by, for example, bringing up Casamigos, but like that kind of just spiraled to the point where it's like, oh, you don't carry Casamigos? Like, nothing for me then. Like, so, but at some point it started where it was like, oh, like here's this cool new tequila thing. And, you know, it, some people think it tastes great. Awesome. Once you start to carry that product, then that's like also your, that's a part of your brand as well. Like, so if I say that I want Casamigos here, then that's Porchlight endorsing then again that. So then I don't know. There's some sort of line that would, like, you can only carry so much product, for example. Like, if I could carry another thing, then I'm going to do that if it tastes better. I'm not just going to do it because everyone else is doing it to some extent.
No, I think it's an interesting conversation because you only have so much real estate behind your bar and in your well. And like you said about the centrifuge, if this new piece of creativity technology is in your way or it doesn't flow within the space as much as you like to have that, you have to replace something, right? That's kind of like ice is huge right now. And, you know, having space for ice, you know, craft ice or, you know, the things that go along with it. Are you shaving your ice? Are you, you know, all those things that, you know, how much space and time do you have to dedicate to making that cocktail and having it available?
Yeah, I'm just kind of realizing now, like inheriting like my position as well, to make room for a lot of the stuff that like I personally want to carry for it. It's like, it takes a bit of time because the people before you make decisions and like, this is here and that's here. It's like, okay, like got to figure out creative ways to get through that before we can get to this other thing. And so like, we're, you know, we're a little backed up in terms of my wish list.
Well, one wish at a time, right, Ben?
Absolutely.
I love the opportunity to speak. You know, when Dawn and I, you know, we always look for cocktail bars and really enjoy, like I said, this menu your team and you are putting out. Like I said, I don't know where to start. I don't know how many I can have. I would have to cancel my whole day. But we love talking to bartenders and we love hearing your perspective. And, you know, now that you're running with being the food and beverage director, and that's a little bit of a different spin on it, just appreciate your time today. Is there anything that we haven't talked about on the podcast? Anything you'd like people to know about you or Porchlight?
I mean, just that we're here. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. I'd really like to have you in too, just so we can start this, the process through digging through our our massive menu. Okay. And the reason why it's so big in the first place is just because, like, we want to make sure there's something there for everybody. It's just about finding it and being led there by someone that works there is one way of going about it, or just drinking every single thing is the other way.
Well, the menu just isn't something there for everybody. For me, it's like everything is there for me. So it's such a, but it is to that point, it is such a great variety of cocktails. I think that, you know, you see in a lot of cocktail programs, you'll get, you know, maybe 8 or 10 or 12 core cocktails, and they'll highlight them as pre-prohibition and post-prohibition, right? And that's the lane that they run on, you know, your old standards and now what we're going to call is new and funky. And,
yeah,
you know, sometimes, truthfully, I'm just going to say, just give me an old fashioned, because what I'm seeing there, sometimes I can't see it in my mind to decide how it's going to taste in my mouth and in my palate. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to go there today. I'll stick with the tried and true. Give me a Manhattan, give me an old fashioned. You know, you got chartreuse on the menu. Has the chartreuse, have you guys cornered the market on chartreuse now, or are they flowing again? What's going on there?
We've had a long partnership with chartreuse. So, I think we are doing fine with it. I'm not like waking up at 3 in the morning going to the, as if that like going to the distribution house and getting my ration, but.
So if the world wants to know where chartreuse is being stored, it's at the Porchlight right now.
it's on the menu at Porchlight. We do have the chartreuse in a couple of different ways. Yeah, both green and yellow.
Yeah.
But well, that's what
I
said.
I mean, if it's something I'll ask the bartender, can you make me a last word? You know, I mean, if it's something I'm not seeing on the regular menu, I may just want something that I know that I'm going to enjoy day in and day out. Just that if you make a good cocktail and you can make that, I'm a happy customer.
Yeah, for sure. I think when I go out too, in a similar way, I'll do that. But I guess what I'm looking for in a menu is like different ways of getting creative within those classics. So like last word is like, sure, one of my favorite drinks, I would say. So if I see a cool variation on that, if I'm like looking at a menu and seeing, oh, you're doing this like split base thing with, like cutting out the maraschino and another liqueur introduced there, like awesome. Or you're using something like in these days, because it's hard to get chartreuse, you like have this cool new like Faccia Bruto or something like that. What's that taste like? But I like when we do, we have this menu that is quite large, and if it is overwhelming to somebody, we can guide somebody to the point where they say like, oh, like I don't want to read right now. Just give me an old fashioned. I'd be like, yeah, I can do that. Make you an awesome bourbon or rye old fashioned, or you could have this cool Wisconsin brandy old fashioned that we have on the menu. That kind of harkens back to Wisconsin. And we make our citrus syrup appears again, maraschino and American brandy and rye whiskey. Would you like to try that instead? And you know, 9 times out of 10 they'll say yeah. And I love Sazeracs. We have Memento Sazerac that's on the menu, cool, which is a cool insert herbaceous Amaro into it. Like, how does that relate to the classic in that way? Like, how does it differ? Like, that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, to your point, what you're doing is you're taking that flavor profile, you're adding some personality that you bring to it, and you're giving the customer a little bit different experience. And I think that's somewhat memorable to that. All right, I know I can just, it's not going to be that same old cocktail bar. And to me, to your point, yeah, we'll let you know when we're coming, Ben. And, you know, we'll find out where the closest hotel is, and
it's a block away.
There you go. That's perfect. You know, you got these delicious sounding food, the sliders and all those other things, a little Southern hospitality. You know, I don't know why we haven't packed the car yet, but we'll figure that out for Dawn and I.
Awesome. Great.
And I'm so glad we've been introduced to each other. I am looking forward to coming and visit with you at Porchlight. You know, if you're in the Fermented Adventure listening audience, go visit Ben and his team and, you know, let us know what you think and just enjoy your time there. But thanks for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. And we can't wait to keep the cocktails flowing and the conversation going. How's that?
Awesome. Thank you, Rich. It's been great.
Thanks, Ben.